equal. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. Even if that's New York. Amen. Cattle ranch in New York. Are you sure? Yeah, okay. Well, we're on our series today. Is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? Guess what I got today for you. Is that in the Bible? What goes around comes around. How many has ever said that? So is that in the Bible? Huh? Is that in the Bible? What goes around comes around. And when do we say that? When do we say, well, what goes around comes around? Yeah, when somebody treats you bad. We love that statement, when somebody does us bad, don't we? Well, I'll tell you one thing. What goes around comes around. You know, we've probably all said that. We're Okies, you know, that's the way we talk. And so we've probably all said that 100 times, you know. People doing us wrong. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. But isn't it funny? Have you ever said this when you did somebody wrong? Well, I'll tell you one thing, Jack. What goes around comes around. Yeah. No, you know what I say when I do somebody wrong? Well, God's gracious. Where sin abound, grace is much more abound, you know. But now, if you do me wrong, well, I'll tell you one thing. What goes around comes around. Just remember that, you know. And so, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, that is something we use. And how many knows that principle is in the Word of God? It really is. Does anybody know where it's found? No, that's not it. That's not what I'm thinking about. There it is. And where is that? Well, if we're going to believe what goes around comes around, we better know where it's at, right?
Amen.
How about Galatians? Would it be in Galatians? Let's look in Galatians. And would it be like in the 6th chapter, maybe? Well, it's a good thing I preached on this today, isn't it? 6-7 right there. Right there it is. Right there it is. Do not be deceived. This Oklahoma translation. God is not mocked, for whatever goes around comes around. No, it says what? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I got to thinking about that the other day, and I thought, you know, maybe the difference between what goes around comes around and sowing and reaping is a deliberate act. But then I thought, no. You know, when we sow reckless seeds, even, you know, when we do stupid things, careless things, I mean, those, that is really, we are held accountable for that. And so really there's not a lot of difference what goes around comes around, because how many knows if you sow seeds of neglect, that's what you're going to reap. You're going to reap poverty, aren't you? You know, you can only sow seeds of neglect for so long without reaping poverty. We can hide our head in the sand, we can deny it or ignore it, but if we sow seeds of neglect, poverty's coming. And so really what goes around does come around, and what you sow you do reap. There's people that always has excuses and crises, and there's always people that will sow good seeds and have a great life. I love the statement, and this kind of fits on our message today. The success of my day is not dependent upon the harvest that I reap, but the seeds that I sow. And that what goes around comes around. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if we think in those terms, you know, maybe it's bad today, but I'm going to stop the cycle today, because I'm going to start planting good seeds today. How many knows you start today and start planting good seeds today? And here's what I want you to know. Well, let's read just a couple more verses here. Verse 8 says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And here's the key verse. It says, "And let us not grow weary You know, we're talking about this busy schedule and thousand things to do. He says, listen, when you're in your doing, he said, don't forget to do good. Don't forget to do good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, and there's an area in that phrase. Verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so, here's what I want to talk to you about on what goes around comes around. There's two factors that we need to put into that equation. What goes around comes around. There's two things we need to stick in there, because if somebody, like we was talking about, somebody does you wrong, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe you're driving a older car, or your washing machine's broke down, or something, or you're having problems in areas of relationships or something, and you look at the person that has done you wrong, and it seems like everything is really good in their life. In fact, they come over to your house and they're driving a new car. You want to see them in a new car? And you know, inside you say, not really. But on the outside, of course, you put on your face, well, sure. Now, is what happened to what goes around comes around? How many knows it's still at work? But you have to factor in two things. You have to factor in the grace factor and the God factor. Because here's something we don't know. We don't know when God's going to give grace, and we don't know exactly what all He's got going on behind the scenes. We just don't know. And if we always look at things and think, you know, and just keep waiting and waiting that God's going to get you and you're going to get yours, and it seems like they never do, and they just keep excelling and keep getting better and keep going on, and we're stuck in that waiting mode to hope, you know, see what God's going to do to you, then we may become disgruntled. We may, you know, start harboring stuff inside that we don't need. And so we have to remember, He's God and we're not. That's a good statement, isn't it? He's God, I'm not. And so we have to remember that. Now, let me give you a couple of quick illustrations before we go to the next scripture, and I'll show you somebody that I wanted to bring out today in that what goes around comes around, and watch God work. Everything, the Bible even says, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap in verse 7. But how many knows that is not the case every time? I mean, you know, if I come up and I got mad at Randy and popped him on the jaw, it does not mean that he may pop me back. Now, he might, but it does not mean that if I poked your eye out, it doesn't mean that, well, then you're going to get your eye poked out. If some big guy rapes a little woman, does that mean that there's going to be a little woman rape a big guy? No. See, that's silly, isn't it? So what we have to look at is the will and the sovereignty of God, the God factor. But we have to remember this, that there's always consequences. There's always consequences. But what messes that up in our minds sometimes, and we think God is not justice, is the grace factor and the God factor. Because He is gracious, isn't He? And we call on that grace when we're the one that messed up. Oh God, I need grace and forgive me and stuff. And then when somebody does us wrong, that's when we use what goes around comes around. You just wait. And so we need to get that in balance so we can have a right perspective. In fact, I believe this. If we truly believe what goes around comes around, we'd never say one unkind word about anyone, would we? Because how many knows if you say an unkind word, how many knows if what goes around comes around, guess what's coming back your way? Well, you know, I like them, but let me tell you something about them I don't like. Let me tell you, you know, we'd never gossip. We'd never say bad words. We'd never, you know, if we really believe what goes around comes around. And you know what? That's a pretty accurate statement. It may not be the very same thing that we did that comes back to us, but it will come back in the full measure, and here's why. God is righteous and God is just. You know, when people die and we don't know about their salvation, I always try to tell people, you know, all I know is this. God is righteous. It's not His will that any should perish, and He's never made a mistake. That's about the best I can offer families that don't know where their loved ones are going. God is righteous, and it says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and He's never made a mistake. And sometimes that's the best we can offer. people. And it makes it really tough. You know, if you've ever preached a funeral or had to speak at a funeral where you didn't know where that person's salvation was, you didn't know where they were going, it's really tough. It's a tough request. It's a tough thing for a family to ask, I believe, and it's a tough thing for a minister to come and to do that for a family. And but anyway, we need to factor in those two things. And here's where we need to get in balance. Whenever somebody does me wrong, I need to think about that grace factor instead of what goes around comes around. That shows growth on my part. Because really, you think about it, if somebody's done you wrong, you know, there's coming a lifting of God's protecting hand off of them. There's coming a time when the hand of God, because of the wrongdoing, is going to be lifted. And remember when Job come in, his was a trial and a test of righteousness. But then there's been many in here. And King David's the one I want to talk to you about today. I think it's a great example in this area. King David, you remember, was at home when it says the time of the year when kings go out to battle. And he sent his troops out, and he didn't go to battle. Now I've heard preachers preach on that before and say, well, there you go. He's should have been leading. He should have been out fighting. Well, maybe he should have. Maybe it was time for R&R. I mean, those R&R won't send you to hell. So maybe it was okay. It does say in the Bible he got off his bed in the afternoon. So it was a slow day. I don't know how old he was at this time, but he was definitely napping. Any of you take naps? Just watch out if you sleep too much. Satan's always there when you wake up. But guess who else is there? The Holy Spirit's there. And it's a choice, isn't it? It's not about taking a nap or not. But David would come off his bed, and he was on the top of his palace, and he looked out. He looked and he lusted. And he knows he had a choice. And so he inquired. He looked, he lusted, and he inquired, who is that woman? Remember Carmen, the old song he used to sing? David was smitten down to his socks when he saw that Bathsheba fox. Quite a songwriter, isn't he? he's a hoot. But that's about the gist of it. He was just smitten by this woman, and he calls her in, and he found out she's married. And that should have been in the conversation. But it wasn't, because he's king and I'm king and I can do whatever I want. He put himself above the law, and so he took her in and he slept with her, and she was pregnant, and she sent word back to David. She said, you know, I'm with child, and so he panicked, and he tried to cover up sin with another sin. And before we get too holy, let me tell you something. When we sin and we don't come forthright with that sin and express it and confess it, he said, God is faithful and will forgive us of our sins. If we confess our sins, he is righteous and will forgive us cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's the key, is confession. When we try to help the tilt on our side, then we better be careful, because we're starting to walk in darkness. And the old phrase that says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, as a very accurate statement. So be careful when you were found out in sin, not to try to, you know, easy, you know, put a little soft pedal on what we've done, but to confess that before God. And he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that at all. What he does is try to cover it up, and he brings her husband in from the battlefield and says, I want to report about the war, and he lies and makes up the story. And so here comes her husband, Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, and he comes in and he gives the report, and David sends him home, but this loyal soldier won't go home. And David finds out about it and says, what's the matter with you, boy? I sent you home. Why don't you go home? And he says, listen, Joab and all of my buddies are out there fighting, and they're out sleeping in tents, and I'm not going home. I thought, boy, how convicting that must have been for David. Because David had a warrior's heart. And he was a loyal. He could understand that, because that's the way he was with Saul. He said, that's God's servant. And no matter what he acted like. So he knew. He had that kind of a heart. But he had walked off in darkness and sin. And he had lost his righteous compass. How many knows when you choose to go out in the darkness, you're going to lose your righteous compass? Your north is not towards righteousness no more. And so the best thing to do to get your compass right is to fall on your face before God and say, God, I need forgiveness and I need light today. But David does that, doesn't he, in Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. So he does that at a later point after he's caught. Remember, Nathan the prophet came and he told him the story, and after he had sent Uriah back out, and he sent him with his own letter that said, you know what, put him out in the forefront of the battle and where he'll be killed. And so he literally sent a death letter with Uriah back to the battlefield. And all this started with just a look and a lust. Listen, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to get us off the wrong path. Just yield to something small. Just yield to the look. Yield to the lust for whatever. Maybe things or people or position or whatever it might. Doesn't take much. All it takes is a yielding to that. And we begin to quench the Holy Spirit and begin to feed the flesh. And before you know it, it just gets darker and darker and darker. What goes around comes around. Now, here's where the God factor comes in. David, under the law, he's not under grace like we are. He's not under the new covenant. He's under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, adultery was punishable by stoning. I mean, it was death. Murder certainly was. And so he's got two death sentences hanging on his head, and he's found out by Nathan the prophet. God whispers in his ear and brings his sin to light. And David says, you know, and I love the story that he brought. He came to David and he said, David, I want to tell you something. He said there was this little poor man, and he had one little ewe lamb, and he kept it and it ate his own food and slept in his house, and they just loved this little lamb. And said, and then there was this rich man in town, and he had all this wealth, and a traveler came through, and when the traveler came through, instead of the rich man taking one of his lambs, he went and got the poor man's little lamb and said, I want to take your little lamb. And he killed it and he fed it to the traveler that was coming through. And David's fury was, he was just enraged, and he said, you know what, whoever did that will die. And Nathan looked at him and said, David, you're the man. I'll give you all this kingdom. Everything you see was yours. I'd have given you more, but you took Uriah's one little lamb that he had, his wife, and said, you're the man. What goes around comes around. And so at that point, what should have happened, except for the God factor and the grace factor, David should have been lined up like any other person that's not above the law, regardless of position or power, and should have been stoned to death on two accounts. That's what should have happened, especially under the law, but it didn't happen. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting around the table with my family and we're talking to the board of elders or we're talking to the family members, it's like, well, that's not fair. If that had been me, I'd already be dead. How many think you might have wanted to have that conversation? Because David has been given a lot of power, a lot of wealth, and now why does he get special attention? Well, here's what we got to be careful about. When it goes around, comes around. When we talk and have conversations about someone that's doing well, that's mistreated us, or we know is walking in sin, and we start talking about them, and God only knows what he's doing and what grace he's applying, here's the catch with that. When we start being disgruntled or talking about those individuals, we're not talking about them. We're talking about God, because he's working his plan. Ooh, that's different, isn't it? At least we want to be found talking bad about God. We should probably be quiet. Because it's easy, isn't it? It's easy to talk. And so, when we're talking about people like that, and like I'm sure it would have been hard for me as a pastor not to have that conversation with somebody. Of course, it would be another spiritual leader. But when we're talking about anybody that was talking bad about David after this was brought to light, they're not talking about David now, they're talking about God, because God had pronounced through Nathan, you will not die. He told him the plan and he told him the grace. And so he gave that to David. But it does not mean what goes around does not come around. It doesn't matter who you are. Because when you follow David's life from this point on, and it's rough. Let me show you something. In fact, the Holy Spirit just kind of whispered in my ear early this morning. Go to 2 Samuel. Because I thought there's just something else that I need to see here and I'm not seeing. And as I was up praying early this morning, I thought about this. And I thought, Lord, there's just something else here. And in chapter 12, you know, this is where Nathan came and he reveals his sin, and then you go on over and Absalom is his son in chapter 13 and all is working his plan. In fact, David is told whenever he's found out, he said, you know what, you've done this thing secretly, but here's what I'm going to do. Somebody will take your wives in your own house openly. And how many knows that's exactly what happened? That's exactly what happened. And then you go on over in 15, Absalom's coming up and he's pronouncing himself king. He's got quite a following because he's been a real politician. He's been very diplomatic in all of his conversations with people. And all of a sudden, he's gained popularity and now he's got a following. And now he's attempting to overthrow David as king. And David gets wind of it. And he takes off. And so when Absalom comes to town, one of his advisors says, here's what you need to do. You need to take a tent and pitch it maybe on the same place where David looked out and lusted. But you take a tent and pitch it up on top of the house. And you get all of his concubines, wives come in there in the tent. And then Absalom, in broad daylight, you march in to his wives. See, he took one, but he lost all of his in broad day. He did it secretly, but what goes around comes around. That's a true statement, isn't it? And so his own son is rebelling against him and threatening his life, and God is still protecting David. That's the grace factor. Because he's got good counsel from a man that said whenever he gives counsel, I think his name is Ahithophel, and whenever he gives counsel, it's like it's the oracles of God coming from his mouth. And so he gets good counsel, and God distorts that counsel to save David. The grace factor is still working. God said, I'm not going to kill you. And we look at God and say, well, that's not fair. You know, it's kind of like when we were studying in the New Testament a while back, and it showed where Peter was released from prison, and the angel come and got him and put him, they evidently walked through walls and said, now go preach the gospel again, and rescued him from death. And then James was killed and beheaded in prison. Well, is that fair? If you're James' family, remember that day I preached on that? We were James' family. We weren't Peter's family. We weren't celebrating miracles. We was mourning the death of our brother that was killed in prison, while Peter's family came over and told us all about the miracles of God. Different story, isn't it? Different feeling. It's the grace factor and the God factor. You leave those out and it'll mess your theology up. It'll mess you up. You can't. We can't sit in the seat of God. You know, you can't say, well, why did somebody else have good parents and my parents divorced or left or this or that or the no one loves me? Or you know, you can't go there and stay there. I don't know why. This is all I know. Today you can make a difference. Today you can do something. You can plant a good seed today that when it's going to come back to you someday. Because whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. So don't worry about what happened and what you can't fix. Worry about or be concerned with just planting a good seed today. Because it's going to come back. Do you want a good life? Then plant a good seed. And just wait on it. Just worship God. And then when something goes wrong and it seems like your seeds died, it's like one guy said, you know, when you're young, what you do is you go out and you plant wild oats. And then you go to the altar and you pray for a crop failure and it's just not going to happen. I mean, you just seem to have a crop failure once in a while with some of the stuff you plant. You know, that's the way we are. But God is sovereign, and there's grace, and why He uses it in one man's life, like with Pete, and He doesn't in James, I don't know why. All I know is He has a plan and a purpose for you, and until that time, you know, Karen and I were talking this morning, and she said, you know, the doctors say where you're going to die. I said, you know, maybe you just need to look at the doctor and say, well, what else is new? We're all dying, and we're all going when Jesus says, so what's your problem? Tell me what I can do to help myself while I'm here. Huh? How many knows we're all going? Death rate, last time I checked, was 100%. Everybody's been born has died. Is anyone surprised? But here's what happened. David didn't lose his life, but he lost all of his wives. This day judgment came. This day judgment came, and this day fear came, and this day David is being hunted and taunted. And then you remember the when Bathsheba had conceived and she brought she was pregnant, and when the baby was born, well, it got ill and it died. David fasted and prayed and out 7 days on his face in the dirt and prayed and interceded for the baby, but the baby was taken. Does that mean God punishes parents through their children? I don't think so. I think that just means that God had a plan, and that's that grace factor, and that's that sovereignty factor that we have to say we don't know. We don't understand that part. You can try to understand it and put meaning to it and all that, but I don't think you can explain why He took the child unless you're God. He's sovereign. I don't think you need to be afraid if you're having a child and, oh, I've sinned, and I don't think you have to be afraid of God that He's going to kill your baby. I don't think that's the message in that at all. I think God is full of grace and mercy, and if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So just confess. Make a clean sweep of it. You know, get right. Get in the light. Walk in the light. But what is whatever reason, why ever God took the baby, He took the baby. That's a God factor. Yeah. Sweet home Alabama. Yeah. I thought the rapture had come and Gabriel started blowing the trumpet. Sweet home Alabama. I told you the story about Mac Brown going to heaven, didn't I? He had the little shack in heaven, and God shows, said, "Come here, Mac." He shows him the little shack in the corner of heaven. Said, "That's your house right over there." He's the coach of Texas Longhorns, and Mac looked up on the hill, and there's a big mansion that said OU on it. Mac Brown said, "Well, you know, that's not fair. Stoops gets a big mansion. I get a shack." He said, "Mac, that's not Stoops' house. That's my house." yeah. That's the grace factor. See, I'm a preacher. That's the grace that God gave me to have fun at the pulpit there. Now, let's go on. That's right. Meddling along. Now, he wasn't killed, but all these things came. All these things came upon David in public. And then I was reading on over in the text, and I thought it was a symbolic death, but nevertheless it was a death. Remember when they were found guilty of adultery, stealing, whatever, they would be stoned to death. Well, you look in the scripture, and there's a man that comes out of Saul's family, and I can't get his name. I think it's Shimeah, I believe. We're going to call him Shim, okay? And in 16, in verse 5, when David is fleeing for his life, he says, "Now the king David came to Behurim. There was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shim, and the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came." And now watch what he did. He threw stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left hand. Here's David's mighty men and all of his soldiers, and this guy's got rocks in his hand chunking them at David and all of his mighty men. How many knows what your first thought would be? Wouldn't want to be you. But that's not so, is it? The guy, David, in fact, one of his guards, verse 8 says, the Lord has brought you up, and he comes out and he's just giving him a tongue lash in this guy. It says, the Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into your hand of Absalom your son. So now you're caught in your own evil because of the bloodthirsty man. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? And he's ready to stand up and fight. He says, please let me go over and take off his head. But the king said, what have I to do with you? And then he says, so let him curse, because the Lord said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And here he is. Here's David's stoning. It's a symbolic stoning, but here it is. And he has the ability to send men, but he's realized this. You know what? I tried in my own power one time to do what I wanted to do. Now God has sent this angry man out here. And I know that what he's saying is true. No one would do this in his right mind. Let him throw. And so here's David walking along, you know, dodging rocks. I believe that's his symbolic stoning. And David said, maybe. Well, let's just look at it. In verse 12, David finally says, it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for this curse, for his cursing this day. It says, and then David said, David and his men went along the road. Shem went along with the hillside opposite him, cursed as he went. This was going on all day. Threw stones at him and kicked dust in the air. You ever seen that and playing baseball and they can't hit him, so they'll kick the dirt on him? He's throwing rocks at him. He's throwing dirt in the air, kicking and cursing at him and all day long. And they're just taking it. Because what goes around comes around. And then he says in verse 14, now the king and all the people who were with him became weary. So they refreshed themselves. How many knows that's where you live, and it's in a weary land when we sow seeds that are bad seeds. When we yield to things that we know are bad. Because what goes around comes around. It may not always come like we think it might. And the grace factor's there, but here's our part, and I'll close with this. We need to repent and get it right. Don't wait until somebody comes and prophesies or God brings it out in the lights. When you've done wrong, man, let's get on our face before God and say, God, this is wrong. I confess it today and I want to walk in light. I don't want to wait till somebody comes and finds me out. I want to walk in righteousness today. You know, don't walk that walk, because the farther you walk, the darker it gets and the more confused you are and the greater the consequences. Because what goes around comes around. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for mercy and grace. And Lord, I pray that this statement will help us to grow. It's not exactly in the words of what a man sows, that shall he also reap. But the principle is exactly the same. And so in our walk, I pray, Lord, for us that we'll keep our thoughts pure, our motives pure, that we'll keep our words pure, because every time we say something that degrades someone else, it's likely to come back. We're sowing in the wrong direction. We're sowing the wrong things. So today, our prayer today is, Lord, that we'll sow good seeds. And that we'll remember that the success of my day is not determined by the harvest I reap, but the seeds that I sow today. It's coming back. May not come back tomorrow, it may not be next week, but it's coming back according to your word. And so each day we have an opportunity to get up and make great strides for a wonderful and powerful life, regardless of who's around us and what they're saying and what they're doing. I pray today that we'll lose our excuses about our company or that won't promote me or my spouse that won't love me or support me or my illness that is plaguing me. And today, just help us to drop every excuse and say, God, I'm going to plant good seeds today, and tomorrow I'm expecting a harvest. And I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to plant good seeds tomorrow, and I'm expecting good harvest the next day. And the next day after that, I'm going to plant some good seeds and I'm going to expect the goodness of God. Until I walk in light, I walk in blessing, because I believe that your word is true, and whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So today I set my faith and I set my plan of action to plant good seeds, to have a good life, because I serve a good God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make that profession of faith. Amen. Amen. If you're